Chronicles tonight. 1 Chronicles. So you can't be real. The answer is yes, I can be. 1 Chronicles. Chapter number 1. I've heard people talk about not wanting to read 1 Chronicles, but that's the first time I've ever heard somebody cry when I announced 1 Chronicles 1 as my text. Alrighty. You ready? 1 Chronicles, chapter number 1. Look at verse 1. Say, you're kidding. No, I'm not kidding. You ready? Adam, Sheth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Henoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, and Magog, and Madai, and Javan, and Tubal, and Meshech, and Tiras. The sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, Riphath, Togarma. The sons of Javan, Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, and Dedanim. Jump over to verse number 29. These are their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael, Nebaioth, then Kedar, Adbeel, Mibsam, Mishma, Duma, Massa, Hadad, and Tema, Jetur, Naphish, Kadima. These are the sons of Ishmael. Go over with me to verse number 34. And Abraham begat Isaac, the sons of Isaac, Esau and Israel. The sons of Esau, Eliphaz, Reuel, Jeus, Jaalam, Korah. The sons of Eliphaz, Teman and Omar, Zephi, Gatam, Kenaz, and Timnah, and Amalek. The sons of Reuel, Nahath, Zerah, Shammah, and Mizah. Verse number 1 of chapter number 2, these are the sons of Israel, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun, Dan, Joseph, and Benjamin, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. Now it's going to come as a great relief to you that we're going to stop our reading right there tonight, unless you want to keep going. And it's kind of like 50-50, it looks like, somebody there. And some folks, the reading has already put you to sleep. All right. Let's pray and ask the Lord's help tonight. Lord, we thank you for letting us read tonight. Just even the first few names here that we've read inside the book of Chronicles, I pray that you would help us to understand a little of what we have read and help us, Lord, as we do read. Lord, I pray that you would bless us tonight. Help us, Lord, to hear your voice tonight, even in this book. I know a lot of folks would say it's not possible, but Lord, we know that you can help us understand tonight. So please be glorified in all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Why in the world have we come to the book of 1 Chronicles? Lord, have mercy. You know, I don't know that anybody has answered 1 Chronicles to the question, what's your favorite book of the Bible? If anybody has said 1 Chronicles, maybe they are, as we'd say down south, a little touched in the head. All right? They very well might be a little touched. In fact, there are a lot of challenges when it comes to reading our Bible on a daily basis. So much creeps in. You know, you've got your children who don't want to cooperate. You've got the eggs that are getting burned on the stovetop. You've got the biscuits that burn in the oven. All the rest of that. You've got all kinds of issues that come up when we're trying to read. But then again, when you read the book of 1 Chronicles, some folks, it's just like going uphill at 3 miles an hour, and they're just not interested in getting up over the top of the hill. And sometimes they just kind of go back down. They're going up that icy mountain, brother, and they just kind of give up and they slide back down. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands of how many folks have read 1 Chronicles or have not read 1 Chronicles. I'm not going to do that to you tonight. But here's what I want us to talk about tonight, just some of the blessings that we can get from 1 Chronicles here. And I'll give you my title here in a little while. But, you know, when you get to this long list of names, it can try the patience of even the most patient person. And I will just throw this out. If you do not have a Bible that divides the names of the biblical characters and cities up into syllables, it probably would be a very good investment. that will help you with pronunciation. Now, they may not necessarily be the same way they would be pronounced in Hebrew or Greek, but listen to me. We hillbillies, all right? And if we hillbilly, we're going to pronounce them in hillbilly, all right? Ain't nothing wrong with that. All right, we're going to hillbillicize them. We're not going to so much anglicize them as hillbillicize them, all righty? Now, if that doesn't help you out, I would suggest Alexander Scorby and listen to his CDs or tapes or whatever as you're doing your Bible reading. If you've got a Windows computer, you got a Mac, I'm sorry, you're out of luck. But if you have a Windows computer, you can get Sword Searcher. Excellent Bible program, $50-$60 to get the full program. With that, it has the capability for you to take some audio CDs from Scorby, bring them into the program, and as you are going through and reading your Bible, you can click the button or click the space bar, and Scorby will read and scroll one verse at a time as he's reading through it on your computer. It's a really nice option to have. But getting back to 1 Chronicles, he can help you pronounce the names of 1 Chronicles. And if you're like some missionaries I know, they'll put the sound to like 1.5, 2, 2.5, and zip through 1 Chronicles in their Bible reading. Well, there are a few things that I want to remind us. When we come to the book of 1 Chronicles, if you don't mind, I'm going to pull that coat off tonight. There are a few things that I want to just help us to be mindful of when we come to the book of 1 Chronicles. First of all, what's the purpose of the book? Why in the world would 1 Chronicles be written anyway? Well, here's what I want to remind us of. Remember that God's people went into captivity for 70 years. And a lot of times when if people are pulled away from home, okay, it's easy to forget your roots. Now, I know not everybody is from Greenfield, all right? Not everybody's from Indiana. Some of y'all got family in Kentucky. Some of us got family in Tennessee, all right? And here's the thing. We can have people kind of, you know, throw stones at us, but you can take the youngins out of the mountains, but you can't take the mountains out of the youngins, okay? I've got to be really careful because sometimes whenever I pull that truck or that van out, I've got, hey, Brother Allen, you might need to let Miss Sharon in. Oh, never mind. She got in. Okay, I thought the door was locked. Don't run. You got to be careful because that truck wants to head down south. It knows how to get on, you know, 74 and head down 75 to go to the mountains. So you got to be careful about that. But it's important to know where we come from. One of the things that I want to caution all of us in here who have children or grandchildren who are still studying and in school is that there is a very overt effort to cut away our history from underneath us as a nation, as a country, I can say, simply because people do not like the foundations. Look, you can throw stones all you want at the founding fathers. You can call them slave owners. You can call them rich landowners. Do all that you want. The reason you have the ability to open up your mouth and gripe about your leaders is because they signed the documents after several of them shed their own blood to be able for you to have the opportunity to look back and bash them. Okay? So we ought to stop a minute and remember that if a people are disconnected from their history, it's really easy to redefine a people. Look at me. I'm not interested in being redefined. I'm not going to identify with another group, all right? Amen, come on now. Amen. I am who I am, and that's where I plan to stay. I say all that to say this. The purpose of the Chronicles is just that. It's to help Israel realize their moorings after being in 70 years of captivity. Now, some people have accused the writer of Chronicles. We're not sure if it was Ezra or who it was necessarily. But some people think that the writer of 1 Chronicles is trying to whitewash all of Israel's bad history that caused them to go into captivity. However, and simply because, like, say, the instance of David and Bathsheba, it just kind of passes over that. You find that in 2 Kings, you don't find it in Chronicles. Well, it's not so much that they're trying to whitewash because you don't see every bit of those sinful instances and sinful choices moved out of the way. In fact, the writer of Chronicles probably would tell you that you really need to pick up the books of the Kings and read them together, and that way you have a full picture of what's going on. So that's the purpose of Chronicles. Now, just a reminder that as we go through Chronicles, and I know that some people struggle with it. You may be, you know, trying to get through it in your Bible reading and trying to do your best. I want to try to encourage us a little bit tonight in that. But it's a couple things to consider while you're making your way through 1 Chronicles. And it doesn't mean a lot to us Westerners, but it means a lot to a Jew. All right? Number one, the list that we've read here, I read intentionally because they're the lists of families. We read specifically beginning off with Adam. We came down, we just read the sons of Japheth, and that's where we stopped. We could have gone to the sons of Ham and the sons of Shem. We jumped over to verse number 29, we read about the sons of Ishmael, because you're familiar with him. We jumped over to verse number 34, we read about Abraham and his boys. And then we came down to chapter 2 and verse number 1, and we read the names of the patriarchs. So the reason that I did that, the list of families has an importance for the Jew. Just as your family heritage holds some importance for you, it also did for the Jew. In fact, some of the greatest studies that you can do, people are encouraged about it, is they want to know if there's anybody famous in their family tree. Now, you might have not so many famous people, you might have some infamous people in your family tree, all right? You may not have kings and knights, but you may have chicken thieves and, you know, bank robbers. You never know. So be careful what you find. But just as our family lineage holds some importance, so does theirs. Number two, the family inheritance and the duty of the family. And I want you to kind of in the back of your mind think the Levites was tied to a person's family tree. We talked earlier today about, you know, women. And we talked about women serving. People always talk about the limitations of women in ministry, limitations of people. And in all honesty, they're not just limitations for ladies, but they're also limitations for men as well, as far as ministry goes. But I want us to understand that if you were a Jew living in Israel, you also were limited to ministry based on the family you were found. If you were a Levite, you could serve in the ministry of the tabernacle, but you had to be one of the sons of Aaron if you were going to be a priest. So that was all tied to a person's family tree. You may remember reading in the books of like Ezra and Nehemiah about the people who have come back and they're setting up the worship. And I believe it was in the book of Ezra talked about how that there were some folks who could not prove that they were the sons of Aaron. And as such, they were polluted and put from the priesthood. They were set off to the side because they couldn't prove they were the sons of Aaron. The books of Chronicles are very important, and more than likely the books of Chronicles probably helped discern whether or not those people were truly descendants of Aaron. So those who could prove they were the sons of Aaron were allowed to serve, and if you couldn't prove that, then you couldn't serve. That's number two. Number three, the list would also serve as legal records. Okay? Years ago, people would record the names, the dates of birth and deaths in the family Bibles, and those were just as part much of a legal record or something that was recorded at the register of deeds at the courthouse. In fact, I know some folks I call name right now, and everybody here would know the family. They do not have a marriage license. They have a marriage covenant because they didn't go to the state to get a marriage license. And now that this whole idea of having the secure ID has come out, now we're starting to get into some First Amendment issues with people who don't want to get a marriage license. So as we look at the book of Chronicles, we can see, number one, as far as that, like the legal record, who had claim on what inheritance, and along with that, who had responsibility to help whom as far as family goes. Think Boaz, think near kinsman. Who's going to help somebody else? Now, granted, you would know your next family, your mom, your dad, your auntie, your uncle, and all the rest of them. But as far as the extended family goes, the books of Chronicles would help people to see, oh, we are related to great-great-uncle, you know, whoever over there way back when. That would help establish that family record. But more than anything else, number four, the family lists in Chronicles help to establish a person's identity. And it establishes the identity by tying them to the family lineage. Now, let me just simply say this. It establishes identity of a person. It does not necessarily establish the quality or integrity of that person. Just because your mom or dad dropped the ball and were really not nice people does not mean you have to do exactly just that. I am sick and tired of hearing, well, my dad was an alcoholic and my mother was an alcoholic, so that means I've got to... No, it does not mean that. Quit giving in to all this silly therapy foolishness that's out in the world today that says you're born with that and you've got to fight. Listen, we're all born with a sin nature. We're all born prone to sin. But you and I do not have to go back and repeat the same silly things that our families repeated. It just blesses my heart to see there's a bootlegger, and all of a sudden God just steps in and says, that next one's not going to be a bootlegger, he's going to be a preacher. I love it when God does stuff like that. You know why? Because God can. Amen. So it's tied to the family lineage. So as I come to the book of 1 Chronicles tonight, it really was as I was preparing for Miss Jackson's funeral here this past week that I was reminded of some of these truths. And I'm going to say here just a second what I said at the funeral on Thursday. What I said, I did not mean with any disrespect at all, and I don't want to intend it to be as disrespectful. I'm not sure how the folks out there took it, but I told them how I intended it, and I'm not responsible for what you understand. I'm responsible for what I tell you. You're responsible for how you receive it. Amen. But here's what I said. I said, Miss Jackson was what you and I would call an ordinary person. Just like you and me. I don't want to be ugly. I know I'm born with that part of the way. That's the reason the beard's there. And I don't want to be ugly about it. But we're just ordinary people. Right. Now look at me. We've got some folks who've got some ability. Brother Artie can play the guitar. Miss Olivia hiding her candle under a bushel. She can play fiddle a little bit, all right. She can do that. Savannah can play the piano. These ladies can sing. Amen. I'm going to pick on you, Miss Olivia, every chance that I get. Now, if it makes it feel any better, I'll step over here. All right. Brother Mike can teach Sunday school. But listen, you know, for the most part, we're just ordinary people. None of us is probably going to make the front page of the newspaper because of some great social deed that we've done. More than likely not. More than likely, we're never going to be recorded in a history book about something that we did that had a lasting effect on not only on our community, but other folks away, other folks around us, down the line. We're probably not going to have our, you know, it's like the song says, to be well known of men, I may never be, my name will not go down in history. There'll be no marble plaques to tell of my good deeds, nor any great parade to honor me. But there's a record book. My name is written in. Oh, yes, it was recorded there when I was born again. Amen. Yeah, I think I might just have a little spell right there. Amen. Yeah, we're not going to have a whole lot of people who will look at us and say, man, you're extraordinary. All right, you're a bunch of extraordinary people who look ordinary. Amen, that's exactly right. Amen. Amen. So I guess that I should have put that in my pocket before church tonight. So I guess as we're looking through here, I want to just think about the common and the ordinary people in 1 Chronicles. And I want to think about this. Thank God for ordinary people. Brother Cole, thank God for ordinary people. You're ordinary people. Let me just go and throw some things out. We're going to look at the text here, but it's ordinary people who keep the church afloat. Okay, ordinary people. Far as I know, we don't have any millionaires in here. I could ask Miss Stephanie and I could ask Miss Sarah if we got any millionaires, because I'd know. Because you'd be giving 10% of whatever it is to the church, and hey, can I get a witness on that? Don't die on me. I started talking about money. Don't die on me now. I'll get right in your face and preach to you if I have to. All right now. Amen. Just be glad I didn't have Italian for dinner today. Amen. That's right. It would be bad. But it's ordinary people who keep the church afloat. Remember we said this morning, probably two-thirds of the early church was comprised of women because of the opportunities for ministry. The respect that people had for women at the time in the church was much different than anywhere else that folks had or that the ladies had found that in society. The church loved the ladies and the ladies loved the church. And if it weren't for a lot of ladies in churches down south and other places I've been, churches would close up. They absolutely would close up. So it's ordinary people who keep the church afloat. It's ordinary people who accomplish the work of God. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that, but I want to just keep that in mind. So as we go through here and read these books, we've read different names. We've read different names. We're not going to read all the names and all the first, 9, 10, 11 chapters. We're not going to do that. I know there's a great sigh of relief. Let me just say this, number one. Let me give you this. The names in 1 Chronicles, you listen to me, the names in 1 Chronicles are people. Now, I preached on this 5 or 6 years ago. Y'all may remember I did that. And apparently the outline that I used 5 or 6 years ago does not exist because I thought, I hope I didn't forget anything I wanted to say and I can't find it. So I guess I'm saying all that the Lord wants me to say. Amen. The names are people. We said this morning that ladies like men are made in the image of God. When you read these names, Adam, Seth, Enos, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, all the way down, when you're reading these names, you're reading the names of people, listen to me, who are made in the image of God. That's important. These are people who have souls. They're people who have souls. And it's important to realize that even though these people are from a different time and a different culture, there's a lot that you and I have in common with them. I remember sitting in a classroom at the University of Tennessee in a summer meeting. We had people there from all different backgrounds. We had scientists. We had college graduates. We had Buddhists there. We had a young man who thought about going into ministry. So we had a great mix of people in that small group. And I remember sitting back listening to a conversation, and this Buddhist and this Christian were talking. And as the Christian said that the people all over the world are not that much different than we are. And the Buddhist stepped in and said, oh, yes, they are. And he began to talk about how there was a different culture and different mindset and different things. And I remember the young man said, no, wait a minute. He says, I want to understand other people from other cultures because I want to understand how they love, how they struggle, how they understand one another, how they handle problems. And you know what? Regardless of whether a person comes from an Eastern culture or a Western culture, everybody struggles. Everybody loves. Everybody has problems. And I say everybody, I mean all peoples do. They have problems. And so while we're talking about people who lived 3,500, 4,000 years ago, we're not talking about people who did not understand the same things you and I understand. So I want us to understand, number one, the names are people. Number two, the names are people who are identified with God's people. The names in 1 Chronicles, for the most part, are identified with God's people. Now, here's why that's important. I know not all the people we've read about were saved people. I know they're not all saved. But I do know this. I do know that if they identify with God's people, in a way, there is a family connection that you and I have with 1 Chronicles. So if you and I are reading the book 1 Chronicles, in a way, you're reading about our own family heritage. Think about that for a minute. Do you not want to know more about your family heritage? I remember before my cousin Donnie died, I was telling him some stories that my dad had told me about, some of the some family. He told me stories about family, and we both looked at each other and said, Donnie looked at me and said, he said, there are them stories. He said, I've never heard. He said, and I've told you stories that you've never heard. That was an amazing thing, to hear some things that we really hadn't heard before. And as you read through the book of Chronicles, keep in mind that the names are people, and the names of the people who identify with God's people, we're in the same family. And I know we're not Israelites by blood. I understand that completely. We're not talking about how the church takes over for Israel. We don't believe that. So number one, the names are people. Number two, the names are people who are identified with God's people. Number three, the names are people who did things, great things for God. Isn't that great? Thank God for people who do great things for God. It was William Carey who said, was it attempt great things for God? And I can't remember the other part. Expect great things from God. Yes, thank you. Amen. My memory is going. Lord help us. These are some people who did great things for God. If you go through here, 1 Chronicles, you read the first 9, 10 chapters, you're going to come across the names of the patriarchs, chapter 2, verse number 1. You're going to come across the name of kings, like, you know, David and Solomon and their lineage. You're going to come across the sons of Levi and what they did in the, you know, not so much what they did in their ministry, but those names represent the ministries of those people. You're going to come across a few names that you and I would recognize for being outstanding. We read the story of Jabez. His name means sorrow. His mother bore him in sorrow. And yet what did he do? He asked God to enlarge his coast and to keep him from sin that it may not grieve him. And the Lord granted his request. That's pretty good, you know, encouragement to pray from a guy named Jabez. There's not a lot you learn from him, but it's something else. Number two, you learn about a guy by the name of Obed-Edom. Why is Obed-Edom important? We read over in the book of Kings, or over in Samuel, how that David was bringing the ark of God up. Uzzah put forth his hand to touch it because the oxen stumbled on the cart was on. It wasn't supposed to be on a cart, but it was on a cart. And Uzzah put forth his hand and God smote him and killed him and he died. Displeased David, but here's what they did. They took the ark of God and they put it in the house of a man named Obed-Edom. It was there for 90 days, 3 months. And the presence of the ark in that house totally changed the family of Obed-Edom. There's a gentleman down south. His name is Bill South. I guess about 10, 11 years ago, he preached a message entitled 90 Days in the Presence of God. Go online and find it. I can see it right now. People are writing, 90 days. Go to Google, 90 Days in the Presence. Yeah, Bill South, 90 Days in the Presence of God. And what he does is he talks about how that the ark was in Obed-Edom's house for 3 months. And as the ark was there, something happened in his house. God came into his house, and here's what happened in Obed-Edom's life. It transformed his family. And in the book of Chronicles, you can see where his boys have positions in the temple, positions in the worship, positions in leadership. Every bit of that happened because God came into that house. So I'm thinking, whoop. Hallelujah, that's pretty good, book of 1 Chronicles. Amen. Just like it sounds, Bill South. I believe he's pastoring where Brother Raines used to pastor down in Taylor's, if I'm not mistaken. I believe that's right, for those of you all who would understand that connection. You can read about the valiant sons of Issachar. Remember those are the men who knew the times and knew what David ought to do back over in Samuel? Well, we have a little bit about the sons of Issachar there in Chronicles. So here's the thing. When you read over these names like Jabez, Obed-Edom, or the son of Issachar, you read about them, don't just read over them. What you need to do is you need to meditate on the names and not just, when I say meditate on them, just don't think Obed-Edom, Obed-Edom. No, think about what God did in his life. It might involve a little Bible study. So get your concordance, get your computer program like Sword Searcher or something like that. Type in Obed-Edom's name. And look every occurrence of what goes on, and you'll see where the sons of Obed-Edom are doing this, they're doing that, they're in this position. That will help us to meditate a little bit about what's going on. And if you'll meditate on it and think about the work of God in the life of these people, how that they did great things for God, it can take a person who may be struggling with their prayer life. If they meditate a little bit on God blessing Jabez, just a couple of verses we have about him, it can encourage them to pray, just like Jabez prayed. If a person says, man, I'm a first-generation Christian, we're the first people in our family to become believers, there's not a whole lot I'm seeing what God's going to do, look and see what God did with Obed-Edom and draw a little courage from that. Amen? And last of all, somebody, listen, a valiant man back then is a valiant man now. You want to be a strong man? What happens? How does a man become a valiant man? Well, there are some stands that a person takes. There are some decisions a person makes. And you can see that from the family of Issachar. So the names are names of people. The names are people. They identified with God's people. They did great things for God. But here's the thing I want to just spend a little time on. Look at verse number 17 of chapter 1. Just to throw some names out here. The sons of Shem, Elam and Asher. Arphaxad and Lud, Aram and Uz, Hul and Gether and Meshech. And Arphaxad begat Shelah, and Shelah begat Eber. And unto Eber were born two sons. The name of the one was Peleg, because in his days the earth was divided. His brother was Joktan. Now the word Eber there is where we derive the term Hebrew from. So where did the term Hebrew come from? It come from the sons of Eber. Joktan begat Almadad, and Shelef, and Hazar Mavath, and Jerah. Hadram also, and Uzal, and Diklah, and Ebal, and Abimael, and Sheba, and Ophir, and Havilah, and Jobab. All these are the sons of Joktan. Woo! And we took a lap. Amen. Shame. Arphaxad, Shelah, Eber, Peleg, Reu, Serug, Nahor, Terah, Abram. The same as Abraham. We went through all those names from Shem all the way down to Abraham. The sons of Abraham, Isaac and Ishmael. And we read those verses and we're shouting because we know that Abraham is a son of Shem, because there's the Japhethites who went into Europe, the Hamites went down to Africa, the Shemites went eastward. Woo, hallelujah. But let me just remind us, between Abraham and Shem, there are over a dozen names of people we don't even recognize. And here's the thing. These are the ordinary people. I could really just open it up, put my finger on a verse, and pick out some ordinary people in the book of Chronicles. Why do I mean these folks are ordinary people? Here's what I want to encourage us with tonight, and don't worry, I'll just be a few more minutes. So, number four, the names are the lives of ordinary people. Now, there are some people who did great things. We recognize Jabez. We recognize Obed-Edom now. You might remember about the sons of Issachar. But for the most part, you don't even know who these people are. You'll probably forget tonight. They're ordinary people. You know, when you go to a headstone, you typically see a couple of pieces of information. You see the name, first name, last name. And what other piece of information do you see? Date of birth, the date of death. Now, not many of them do it anymore, but if you have to look that up in a book, between that date of birth and the date of death, there's a little dash. What we need to understand is there is a dash in every name in the book of Chronicles. What does that dash entail? I'm not going to tell you anything you don't know, but I want to get your cogs turning just for a minute. When you read the names of Elam and Asher and Arphaxad and Lud and Aram and Uz, Hul, Gether, Meshach, you jump over there to any one of them. I'm just going to read some names here. Jada, the brother of Shammai, Jether, Jonathan. Jether died without children. Some of Jeremiel's family. This is in chapter 2. The sons of Jonathan, Peleth, Zazah. These were the sons of Jeremiel. Who are these people? I don't know who these people are. I don't have the foggiest clue. I say, preacher, I thought you were talking. No, I don't know who these people are. Instead of saying, I don't know who they are, I don't know they're from from Adam's house cat, you can say, I don't know them from Jonathan, Peleth, Zazah, who are the sons of Jeremiel. Okay? I don't know who they are. But here's what I do know. These are people, I want you to listen to me, who are ordinary people. What does an ordinary life entail? These are people who loved, cried, feared, married, grieved, and died. Now, they didn't grieve because they got married, but some of y'all are going to pick up on that. I know that you probably would. Some of y'all are still awake. Some of y'all, the jury's still out. But these are ordinary people. These are ordinary people. What is an ordinary life? It's a life of love. People who cried, feared, married, they grieved, and they died. These are people, listen, who had hopes, dreams, desires, plans, and probably in many ways, the Bible doesn't even record the crushing blows that took place in their lives. You remember when you were a little kid and you would like yank on the ponytails of the girls? I never did that. Okay, whatever. You'd yank on the ponytails of the girls, and girls were nasty and they were ugly. Remember, boys had cooties. Okay, girls, they do have cooties. All of them, they do. All of them, they have cooties, all right? That's right. When you get married, the cooties go away. All right, let's dismiss in prayer tonight. Oh, my goodness. So you remember that boys have cooties and the girls have the ponytails that you jerk on. And then all of a sudden, whenever you turn 12, 13, 14, you realize, whoa, there's something there. Women are a whole lot better looking than men are. And women ought to say, boy, boy, oh boy. Men sure are better looking than women are, because if you don't believe that, we got problems. These are people who had those dreams and desires. And just like you played on the playground, you pulled on somebody's ponytail, you talked to that girl for the first time, just like you had your first job, that first day of hard work, these people aren't any different than that. Every time you read a name, that little dash of love, hope, fear, every bit of that is entailed in that dash. These are people who were wronged. These are people, after being wronged, they cried for justice. They prayed, they sang, they wept, and they worshiped. Now, some of them might have ended up worshiping Baal, but there were a great number of them who knew better, and they worshiped the true God of heaven. And listen, if they were made in the image of God, we can see where they would have cried for justice. Because that's why we believe in justice, because we're made in the image of God. Apes don't believe in justice. I told you before, you don't have the zebras and gazelles and the antelopes come together and put up a tribunal to, put the lions on trial for murdering one of their own, four-legged herbivores over here. Silly. Animals don't murder other people. Don't give me that Tommy rot. Come on now. It's crazy. These are people who went to war. Maybe these folks were afraid to go to the war and they went anyway. There are folks who farmed, who built, who planted, who harvested, who enjoyed the fruits of their labor. That's what you have in this book of 1 Chronicles. Young men and women experienced, we've already talked about it, love for the first time. They experienced the joys of marriage. They experienced the trials of marriage. That's exactly right. Some here had children who died. Some here didn't have any children. We just happened to read about the one who, Jether, died without children. 222 or 232. So what I'm doing is I'm looking at a book that tells us a whole lot about who these people are. And I know there's a little bit of, we're not pouring into the scripture. We're just taking human experience and knowing that the names we have recorded experienced that. Some people had parents who died. Probably, look, the people we have no idea that the person who says, and so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so, we have no idea how close a relationship there was between the names in the same verses. Some of y'all have strained relationships with your parents. Some of y'all have great relationships in your parents. You probably have every single situation of that in these verses here. They were may have been so, even though their names are together, they may have been disconnected. What I wanted you to see is this. When you read through the book of 1 Chronicles, you're reading about ordinary people who lead ordinary lives, but just like you and me. Everything we experienced, they experienced. Now, they didn't have trouble with people calling to check on the warranty for their wagon. Okay? Nobody did that. All right? And they didn't have trouble with email. Didn't have trouble with people trying to steal their identity. None of that stuff. They had no trouble with that. But here are the things that we know they experienced. The same heartaches, the same joys, the same highs, the same lows. These people experienced that. And last of all, let me give you this. Every one of these names, there's one thing that is the common denominator out of every one of these names. You ready? Every one of these people is in eternity. How many of you all have seen on Facebook or maybe somewhere else, somebody has taken the time, and I'm really glad they did it, they've taken the time to look at an old film, let's say from San Francisco or New York City. It's just somebody on the street, and they're running a camera. And they're filming people walking. They're filming the cars zooming around people because there's no stoplights and the rest of that stuff. They're filming the street life of a city. And then you see the people come up. They've got like the caps and the vests, the ties. Folks have, you know, the three-piece suits on, have a walking cane or whatever. And they walk around and it's got the little boys and they wave at the camera and they all just smile and pinch each other. And how many of y'all have seen those pictures before? Seen those? Those are tremendous. And whoever took those things and colorized them, it's almost like I'm connected. Now, I grew up with black and white television. I mean, I grew up in the mountains where we got Channel 6, Channel 10. Once the blue moon, you can get 26. You got Channel 2. That was the PBS station. Miss Becky's like, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. And where we were at, for the most part, even in July, sometimes the best you could get was snow. Like, young people, what's snow? Ask your parents about that. Because they got snow. And the only time they would see color, if they could see any color, was at the very end, whenever they were playing the little flag at like 12 o'clock and the station signed off for the night, and you just knew the flag was red, white, and blue, even though it was black and white television. Hey, man. I'm showing my age now. That's right. But one of the things that's just so interesting is watching those old films. I just like the old-timey stuff. I'm a history guy. Was watching one of those films, and it was on the Facebook page of Brother Bill Grady. And as I looked at the film, I read Brother Grady's comments. The film that he showed, I think, may have been taken from New York City, because he's originally from New York City. And it was taken in the early 1900s. I think, not even the 19-teens, I'm thinking the early 1900s. And here's what he said. He said, every one of these people on this film, every single face, is now in eternity. Where will you be 100 years from now? And that just blew my mind. Seeing old time, and listen, we're not talking about watching Joel McRae and Randolph Scott, Audie Murphy and John Wayne and all the rest of these. We're not talking about these guys. We're talking about people, I don't even know their names. But young boys on the street, probably not in school, probably working for a living. There are probably some young 12, 13, 14-year-old boys in that who've worked harder than some grown men in our day and time. I remember my barber told me, he, after just a few months before he died, I was in his basement getting my hair cut with me and the boys. And he said, Brother John, he said, I just want to tell you, he said, when I was a 12-year-old boy, he said, I learned what being a man was. I had to hook up that team of mules and plow with that team of mules all day long. He said, I became a man and took care of my family at 12 years old. And I tell you what, my hat went off to that fellow. I just love him. Can't wait to get to heaven to see him again. But I'm telling you, just looking back and seeing some of those old clips of ordinary people, they're in eternity. These folks here are in eternity. You and I just have a few short years. These people loved, they feared God, they worshiped God. Not everybody, but they loved, they feared, they served God. So here's what I would encourage us to do. As we read through the Chronicles, we automatically know there are some names of people who did bad stuff. I don't want to moralize, but I'm just going to simply say this. Know what they did. Don't do that. You find the folks who did the right things. What did they do? What made them strong? How did they go on? I believe it's 1 Samuel chapter 30. Is it verse 4, 5, 6? And David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Amen. So I want to encourage us tonight, as you're reading through Chronicles, you're reading about the lives of ordinary people. I want to say this. Thank God for ordinary people. Imagine if everybody did great deeds and wondrous deeds. Imagine, for those of y'all who don't like history, imagine how big and thick your history book would be if everybody did great things. you'd be in school for the next 30 years just for history alone. But thank God for ordinary people. It's ordinary people who do the work of God. It's ordinary people who keep the church afloat. It's ordinary people who will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ, just like the people with the big names. That's exactly right. Thank God for ordinary people who are faithful and do the work of God. Amen. All right. Lord, we thank you for letting us be here tonight. Thank you for being kind to us today. We pray that you take what's been said tonight, use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.